In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Now, the first thing I'm going to say to you is there's a really simple way for you to find out where the Ten Commandments are. Very simple. There are ten of them, and they're in the second book of the Bible. And 2 times 10 is 20. So in the 20th chapter of Exodus, we begin to read about the law. Now, the law was important. It gave a structure to men's interactions. And of course, by men, I mean all humans. Without that, things were basically just power grabs. Can we stop that in there? Is that possible? I don't... There were some... Thank you. Aren't they going to Sunday school? So the law was definitely a good thing. And from whom did it arise? Well, the Lord. Now, if you speak to an Orthodox Jew, he will tell you that there was only one word that was said on Sinai. And that was when the Lord said, "I am." And it was the Jewish people's response to "I am" that gave us all of the law. And by the way, there are the 613 laws of Moses. There are the Ten Commandments. And then there is the Great Commission, which is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." Because, you know, in every place, and you've heard me use this word before, henotheistic, where every god had, or every place had a god. And so this great command to the Jews. And by the way, as I've told you before, the Jews weren't all Israeli. If we think, there were a lot of Egyptians that became Jews. And do you know how? Because they saw the 10 plagues. They saw the 10 plagues, and they said to themselves, "This must be God. So I'm going to put blood on my doorposts and the lintel above." And then the angel of death passed by that house. And there were some Jews who still didn't believe. Think about it for a minute. The Jews knew of the great expression that became emblematic of the people, "Hear, O Lord," the Shema. They saw the Ten Commandments, I mean the Ten Plagues. They saw the Ten Plagues. They saw the Red Sea open up. They saw it close again over Pharaoh and his army. And then what did they do? In just a few weeks, they asked Aaron to use the art of the temple and make them a golden calf to worship. This is who we are. We are people that have an insatiable appetite for the miraculous. And people say today, why have the miracles decreased or aren't apparent anymore in the way they were? It's because we don't believe. If you yourself saw a miracle, how long would it stay with you before you started to say, "Did I really see that? What was the meaning of that?" But at any rate, The law was given. And in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7, now you have to go to a Hebrew Bible because you won't find this because they translated it the way they wanted to translate it. A lot of times, and you should know this, theology is ahead of the translation. So for example, when they were passing out Bibles into Russia, they didn't say, thou shalt not make any graven image. They said, thou shalt not make icons. Because this is going to be an effective attack if the person is so welcoming of the gift of the Bible that they received, then maybe a few people will be drawn off and we won't have icons. But in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7, it says, we will do and then we will understand. Think about that. Most of us, and myself included, we want to know everything, to have it laid out in front of us. Why should I do that? Why do I have to do that? Who said I have to do that? Right? This is the kind of people we are. I'm setting this forth. So when you come to Exodus chapter 21, chapter 22, and the first half of chapter 23, you get the law. And it's eye for an eye. It's tooth for a tooth. It's hand for a hand. It's foot for a foot. It's burn for a burn. It's stripe for a stripe. And it goes on and on and on about what you may legally extract from someone who has wronged you. It goes into all of the animals that you might have. It goes into your pastures, your orchards, your fields of grain. It goes into everything. And this was the rule for the people of God for hundreds of years. Then the young rabbi shows up, and that's all he is. He's just a young rabbi. Nobody knows who he is. Even the people that are most intimately involved with him, they're unsure. They don't know. St. Peter blurts out things from time to time. Oh, you're the Christ. And he said, blessed are you, Barjona, because no one has told you this except my Father. I'm paraphrasing. But he's just this young rabbi. And think of the words he's saying. Now I want you to think deeply about this. Some of you, when you have interactions with other people in your own family, you're selfish. You're unforgiving. People that raised you, that now you have some issue with, you don't want to have anything to do with them. They are a pariah to you. What does it say in here? Love your enemies. Love my enemies. I don't even love my dad. My dad was an alcoholic. He was an embarrassment to me. My father was the kind of a person who said, hey son, you know, we're gonna go down to Texas and go gar fishing. Most of you don't have any idea what a gar is, but it's like a freshwater barracuda. It's a mean fighting fish, not good to eat. It's just for the skill of the fisherman. We're gonna go to Kodiak Island. Kodiak Island of the Aleutians, off of Alaska, near where one vice presidential candidate said, from my house, I can see Russia sometimes. Yeah, Kodiak Island, we're gonna shoot a Kodiak bear. Kodiak bear is the biggest bear in the entire world. I would have been happy to go out with my father and shot quail. you know, little tiny bird with a shotgun. He was my father. He was my father. Love your enemies. I don't even love my father. Think about it. You have cousins you like? You got brothers or sisters that are giving you a problem? Remember, a lot of you confess to me, so I know. I know what I'm saying, and I know who I'm saying it to. Think about this. This is so dramatic, a turn from the law that they were used to. The law was given because people would take from somebody who had wronged them disproportionately. And the law was an agent to balance things, to bring a kind of symmetry between a grievance and the one who was grieved. And the person who had inflicted the offense. You ever bless those that curse you? Has anybody slapped you recently? Have you ever been slapped? Now, I know when you were young, you heard these gospels. What did you do? You know, I roll my fist into a ball and get ready to strike, right? What kind of a man am I? What kind of a man does God want me to be? You see? He says, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Do you know what your tunic is? We get the word tonia. Tonia. It means you're walking around naked. They didn't have a chemise or a culotte. They had a tunic. That was it. And over that, they had a cloak. Now, in the law, it says don't take away a man's tunic. Don't do that because he has to have something to sleep in. That's what they slept in. You realize that? I know you've seen people in Egypt, right? And they wear a galabeah all day long. The same galabeah they sleep in, you know, they get up in. The people that I knew an entire family that was living in the space of like a large bathroom. It was at the bottom of people's house where there was it was a storage area, or designed to be a storage area. Now there was a family of five living there. And every apartment up above that was wealthy, and it was a home that was. Had an elevator. You don't have to walk upstairs. You took an elevator. Rich home. And there's this family. And they're all just sitting there on steps. Not saying anything, not doing anything. And when I would visit the home, I'd go up and I go down and I look in. There they were. And they had to leave the door open because they would burn alive if they closed it. There'd be no air circulation. And you know, it gets pretty warm in Egypt from time to time. But yeah, if somebody wants to take away the last article of clothing that I have, do not withhold it. This is what Jesus is saying. And there's no accounting. There's no accounting for your personal dignity. Remember Isaiah? He was told to walk around naked for an entire year. Naked, the prophet Isaiah. Do you read these things? I don't pick out just the most salacious parts of the Bible, you know, to offend you with. I'm trying to tell you that this is radical. And this was shocking. And it's even, perhaps even more today. Because you know, the amazing thing is, when you don't have much, it's easier to give away what you have. When you have a lot, by proportion of how much you have, you hang on to it with a death grip. I went into a home, I've told this story before. The floor was hard-packed dirt. And over it, they put a very thin carpet. This was the most barren house that I have personally ever been in my life. They had no front door, they had like a flimsy sort of cloth that was hanging in front of it to keep the majority of flies on the outside. But every once in a while, an animal would just come in through the door. Like, you know, a goat, you know, or something of that nature. And I'm sitting, and because I'm a featured guest, I'm a priest, and I'm with another priest, and we're sitting on like a little cushion. And I looked on the wall and I saw this little plate, the kind of plate you get at Khan Khalili, that's inscribed, you know, and it has a kind of a rudimentary drawing of the Holy Virgin. And I said it was beautiful. And they took it off the wall and gave it to me. And I tell you this, this happened more than 40 years ago. And I am still ashamed of myself that I said anything. I should have known. But when you have a lot, the reason that you have a lot is because you don't let anything go. You amass a great deal. And what I have, I want more. Give me more. Or somebody will say, oh, I have enough. How much do you have in proportion to the people that you see around you? You don't have enough. You have a surfeit. S-U-R-F-E-I-T. You have an excess. You have a huge amount. You know, this for me, as I was confessing earlier to the people who came earlier, we had a few minutes before the bread arrived. And I told them that this part of the Bible that we have prayed causes me great despair in my personal life, because I don't know if this is going to be the thing that prevents me from going to heaven. And I mean this. I mean this. Because, well, first of all, I haven't been asked. I remember I was in Alexandria, outside of the Church of St. George in Sporting. And I was sitting in the car with a Bonolua, and this old woman comes up to us, and you know, she's a fat old woman, she's wearing black, and she comes up and she puts her hand out, and the Bonolua hands her, like, I don't know, 25 piastres. He says to me, he says, you see this woman? I said, yeah, I can't miss her. He said, she's Muslim. And she's rich. And I said, well, why? Why are you giving her this money? Why? Because if I don't, she'll start screaming about the priest, about how he's not living up to this gospel right here. This exact gospel. Have you ever been confronted by somebody on the street who wanted a handout? And you thought inside yourself, well, you know what? I don't want to give him money because I think he's going to go buy drugs or alcohol or something else. I don't think he's really going to use the money for food. And usually this is my first go-to when if I'm at a gas station, you know, they usually have a little mini mart there, or, you know, I seldom, if ever, am ever on the street. I mean, there's no reason for me to be on the street. but I do have to get gas for my car. And someone will come up and approach me, and I said, if you're hungry, I'll go in and get you whatever you want. He said, no, I have food, I just need some money. What do I do? I'm thinking about this gospel. Now remember, a couple of weeks ago, I told you about Abonaloa. I told you about him. I don't know if you remember the story. I'll repeat it now because the context is important. A man came to Abuna Bishoy Camel, and he had his hand bandaged, and he asked for money. And Abunaloa knew the man was a faker, and he unbandaged the man's hand, and there was nothing wrong with it. And so they sent him away. And when this story reached the ears of Abuna Mikael Ibrahim, he said, well, you sent the man away without money, but you also sent him away with a broken heart. Because you're supposed to give to anyone who asks you. You're supposed to give to anyone who asks you. Now, what can we learn from these two stories? Abunaloa learned his lesson. And so the Muslim woman, the fat woman wearing black, who was rich, he gave her money. Now, he didn't give her a lot, but he gave her money. He didn't do that to the Christian with the bandaged hand that was faking an injury. But he learned his lesson from the lips of another very famous and pious priest, Abuna Mikael Ibrahim, who used to be the confessor of Pope Shenouda, a very holy person. Well, there's a lot of things that are in here that I fear. And I mean fear. And if you don't have this fear inside yourself when you hear these things, it's because you're not thinking about the gospel in terms of your own life. Are you this loving person? Are you this giving person? Now, what do you want from God if not mercy and if not forgiveness? What do you want from him? Because if you want judgment, he can judge. Who can stand up to the judgment of God? Who? Not me, certainly. You want forgiveness. You want grace. So you have to give it. And if you do not, you will not receive it. This is a scary, scary set of scripture that we just prayed. He says, what good is it to you if you are doing good to people that you like? The sinners do that. Haven't you ever seen Hollywood respond to some actor or actress who has completely debauched themselves on every single letter of meaning of the word debauched with alcohol, with sex, with drugs, and they go into rehab and then they come back and it's like, oh, you're with us again. Sinners. Sinners are polite and good to sinners. But we're not even good and polite to people who are just like us. The people who are supposed to represent the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We're not even that way. We give a little. I never give less than 10%. Never. Never. Well, that's not very much, is it? How about Zacchaeus? What did he say? The half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded any man, I pay him back fourfold. That, of course, is in the law. A righteous man, Zacchaeus. Not me. I'm just like on the outskirts of barely legal. But when I look at myself in the mirror, hey, I'm pretty cool. Look at me. I've made it. I'm a priest. God doesn't see it that way. God doesn't see it that way at all. He said, yes, I have given you every advantage, and now I am going to extract from you what is due and proper to me for all that I have given. I will ask for you to return the kindnesses that you have received. And it may not be to someone that you want to give it to, but you have to know this. It's going to be me, God, that sent that person to you, that sent that person just to you, that person who irritates you, that person that you don't like, that person that you don't want to be around, that person that you don't have time for, the person that you blame for their circumstances, the person for whom you have no compassion, that person, I, God, am sending to you, and now I want the return for all you've received. Have you been successful? Do you have money? St. Augustine says the people that have money should be the granaries for the poor. I'll tell you the last thing, and this is why our church is called St. Cyril. St. Cyril, at the end of his homily, I can just see him in his prayers. He's raising his hands up to heaven, and he's saying, remember, God, that we are dirt. How can you expect much from me? You took me from the dirt. You blew life into me. And I was made. But I am dirt. My essence is dirt. A very base thing. So if I ascend at all, my Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be by the grace that I allow to work in me, which I acknowledge completely is from you. I hope that this gospel scares you as much as it scares me. I hope that you think about this in reference to your own salvation, because it's going to be the measure by which we are all judged. Remember, condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Huh? For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, into the age of all ages. Amen.